Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
All right, sweet. So we are in week two of the series that we've been having. It's called Connect, right? You guys remember that? And last week we did this whole thing about talking about Connect and what that is, and we used our phones as an example, right? We talked about how our phones are incredible things, right? Our inside of our phones has incredible power. They even say that our phones have the ability to the same ability that took the man to walk on the moon. Like, that's crazy. Like, man walking on the moon, my phone. And often my phone drops out of my pocket and cracks. Like, what would happen to the man on the moon at that point? Right? And so we said, this thing has incredible potential. However, if one thing doesn't happen, it's useless. Anyone remember what that is? You have to charge it, right? You have to plug it in. You have to plug it in to the power source, right? Something we do almost every night. And that's something that It's something that we do almost every night to plug it in to the power source. And it's not enough, right? It's not enough just to plug it into the cord, right? Because we said, man, sometimes we try and plug it into the cord, and that just doesn't work, right? We've come back, and it's like, I forgot to plug it into the wall, right? And some of you guys really took that to heart. You've come over to my house, and you're like, is your laptop still plugged in, and all that stuff. And I like to say that we now have fixed that situation with the DVD player that I was telling you about last week. If you weren't here last week, man, get online, reality.painesvilleag.com. Go to the resource tab, and under that, there's an audio section. You can listen to last week's sermon. It's awesome, so make sure you do that. But I wanted to, one of the things that we said at the very end was this. You do the right thing today, you'll get the right result tomorrow, right? Before you go to bed, you plug in your phone. Why? Because you want it charged for tomorrow. So you do the right thing today, you will get the right result tomorrow, right? And so that's kind of where we said that. And likewise, we said, guess what? We are incredible beings. God created each one of us with a purpose in mind. And so we need to connect to Jesus today so that we have the power to do what he's called us to do tomorrow. And we've been looking at John 15. If you remember where we're at, John 15's right in this little chapter or a couple of chapters that we looked at, right? From John 13 to 19 is 36 hours. That's crazy. Like, zoomed in, the gospel writer just zoomed in right on this time. 36 hours. So right here is really important because John 15 goes over the last words of Christ to his disciples before everything crazy happens, before it all goes down, before he goes and gets crucified and all that stuff. We just celebrated Easter, so you guys know what I'm talking about. Before all that stuff happens, this last conversation, he just had the Passover meal with them, and he's like, hey, we're all hanging out. Let's go upstairs. We're up maybe on a rooftop and overlooking Jerusalem, and we see there's maybe some vineyards on rooftops, right? Because they kind of were like modern-day gardens for a lot of us. And so you see here that he might have been standing next to like a grapevine, and all of a sudden, this is the last illustration that Jesus gives his disciples before it got crazy, right? And so he said, listen, a lot of stuff's about to go down. You're going to be persecuted. Everything's going to get crazy. Cray, cray, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus gives this one last illustration. And it's about this whole vineyard thing. It's about being a grape, and it's about all this stuff. And so we talked about the last thing that he wants his disciples to know was this. Guess what? In the kingdom of God, there are positions, and we need to know our role, right? We talked about how every sports team has positions, every band has different positions, and we need to know what our position is in the kingdom of God and know our role, right? And he said, I am the true vine. Jesus was saying that. I am the true vine. So that is Jesus's position, that he is the true power source. If you've ever seen a vineyard, it has one big vine and a lot of different branches going off of it. And so he is the one that we need to stay connected to. He is the main power source. I am the vine. He says, my Father, God, he is the gardener. He's the one that prunes. He's the one that equips the vine to do what it does and equips the branches to do what it does, right, to produce fruit. And so he says, God is the gardener. He says, us are the branches, and we need to stay connected. Our job, our role, the priority that we have as followers of Christ is to stay connected to the vine, to God. Stay connected to God. And so that's what we kind of talked about a little bit last week. And so one of the things, though, in chapter 15, 1 through 17 here, is he outlined a lot of promises, outlined a ton of promises that he was talking about. And when I say promises, a lot of us know what a promise is, right? Anyone ever do like a pinky promise? I pinky promise. I always think of the movie Despicable Me. And she's like, do you pinky promise? And he's like, yes, my pinky promises, right? And it's this moment where it's like, okay, that really doesn't mean much. Or maybe it's like, hey, let's shake on it, like a handshake promise. Or dude, I swear, like my mother's grave. Like that's a, whoa, big promomise. Some of you guys have never experienced this or heard of this. When I was a kid, for some reason, I thought this was cool, but thankfully I did not do it. A blood promise, like, hey, dude, we should totally, like, be blood brothers, and, like, oh, I love this treehouse. Here, I'll cut my hand, you cut your hand, and then we'll, like, shake on it. Awful, awful idea. And thankfully, like, we got this old, rusty, like, nail. We're like, okay, let's do this. And then somebody was like, dude, let's not do that. We don't need to do that. Let's, like, carve our name into the tree. Oh, okay, that's a better idea. Let's just do that, right? And it's like, whew. Man, like tetanus, thank you. I'm not going down that road. So some of us know what promises are, but some of promises are kind of shallow. And so one thing I want you guys to realize that tonight, when we start talking about promises, is this. The world is a promise maker, but it's also a promise breaker. The world is a promise maker, but it's also a promise breaker, right? And so there's a couple things that I want, a couple pictures I want to throw up to see. These are a couple promises that the world has made, and maybe you know who this is. And the first one is, who knows this guy? Anyone? Jared. Yeah, Mr. Subway, right? Jared. And he did this whole campaign years ago. He actually, out of his own initiative, he started to walk to Subway, and he would buy a sandwich, and he documented and took pictures of himself and all this stuff. And then at the end of that, he called up Mr. Subway and was like, yo, Subway, hey, how's it going? By the way, this is how much weight I've lost eating Subway. I'd love to give you my story if you write me a check. And so they're like, dude, awesome. We'll write you a check. And now he's the spokesperson. He was a nobody, right? And now he's this amazing guy. It's been like, I don't know, 10 to 15 years that he's now been doing this. And so it's one of those things that, hey, Subway promises if you eat our food, you'll lose weight. I mean, they don't talk about the fact they walked miles to the Subway. You know, if I walked miles to McDonald's, I might do the same. But that's regardless. So that was a promise. Or some of you guys, this might be a touchy picture here. LeBron in a Heat uniform, right? And so when he went down to Miami, oh, I know some of you guys are like, man, I don't want to talk about that. I didn't realize how touchy of a subject LeBron was, especially when he left. Whew, don't talk about that around people up here. But when he left, just bear with me, he went down to Miami, and I even watched when he walked in, first time he walked into the stadium, and he grabbed a microphone, and he was there with Dwayne Wade and stuff, and they're like, so LeBron, what's this about championships? You think you guys can bring championships to Miami? He's like, no, I don't think we can just bring one championship. Not two championships, not three, not four, not five. Not he like got crazy. I mean, it was just, he was like, hey, I am going to bring so many championships to Miami. It's going to be awesome. Well, he brought some. He didn't bring as many as he promised, though. And now he's back here with kind of the same, hey, Cleveland, woo, championship time. And so we'll see if he is a promise keeper on that regard, too. Or here's another thing you guys have probably used or seen. It's proactive, right? Clear skin and gets rid of acne, and it's supposed to stop acne before it starts. And like, there's Jessica Simpson's been a spokesperson, Justin Bieber's a spokesperson, Adam Levine's a spokesperson. All these celebrities are spokespeople saying, hey, if you take this stuff, then guess what? You're going to look as pretty as me or as good as me. And there's this promise that's made. But guess what? The world is a promise maker, but it's also a promise breaker, right? And so the world is full of promises, and maybe you have kind of felt this, right? Maybe you've grown up and you've experienced broken promises. Somebody says, oh, I love you forever, and then they don't love you forever. Or hey, you might have done this to your mom or your dad, and it's, hey, no, just let me play this game, and I promise I'll get my homework done, or I promise I'll get, just let me go over to their house, and I promise I'll clean my room. And then, like, you don't do your homework, or you don't study, and you fail the test, or you just forget to clean your room, or something like that, right? So I promise, but, oh, all of a sudden, you broke your promise. You know, or maybe it was a promise of, hey, I'll never hurt you, and then you got hurt by somebody. And so it's one of those things that the world makes a lot of promises, but they're empty, man. And the older you get, the more you realize that a lot of people, politicians, make promises, and they're sincere. They're sincere in their promises. Man, I tell you what, they could be so sincere and say, no, this is what I mean, but often it's just our nature to break promises. And there's this movie, man, this is way long time ago. So you'd have to like be going to a black and white movie festival to be able to see this movie. There's this movie that came out in the 90s called Titanic. Anyone ever see Titanic or heard of Titanic? To this day, I have still yet to actually watch that movie. Because I was just like, no, I'm not going to watch that, right? But here's the thing about Titanic. Is there's this part in the movie where a promise gets broken. And it's by a girl talking to a boy. And it's dumb, right? How many of you guys have ever been in a relationship and him or her like made this promise, I love you forever. Let's get like those hearts that like break, and then they can always be like BFFs, FFFs, like best friends forever, 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 ever, right? And then it's like next week, they're like, you're not cute anymore. So there's this moment where this girl, the Titanic, if you don't know the story, boat that's supposedly unsinkable, and then sinks, gets hit by an iceberg. Sinks, and so, well, that's a broken promise, but all of a sudden, there's this girl, this love story, and she's floating on this piece of wood, and she's like, bleh, and Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, Leo, man, he's legit. I love Leo. He's an incredible actor, but at this moment, he's holding on to this girl, and she's like, anyone know the line? I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go. I'll never let go, Jack. And like, not within like 30 seconds, and he dies. That chick ticked me off. You let Leo die. And then like, they flash forward, and she's this old lady. I've always loved him. Well, you shouldn't have let him go. You should have jumped in and saved him. You should have died, lady. Anyways, broken promises. Broken promises. I tell you what. Ugh, still irks me. She let go. Never mind. Moving on. So, the world is a promise maker, but it's a promise breaker. And here's the thing. This is the next thing we need to know tonight. And this is what Jesus says in John 15 right here. Is Jesus makes promises. Jesus is also a promise maker. He makes some promises right here in John 15. And so we need to know that Jesus makes some promises to us. And some of us need to realize that, because when we start following God, we think that, oh, it's all about us and what we have to do. We have to be good. We have to do all that. But God says, no, there, not only do I want you to follow me and fall in love with me? But when you do, there's some promises I have for you. So here's the first thing that he talks about. John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Here's the promise. Those who abide, remember that word abide, also means connect. Those who connect in me and I in them, here's the promise, bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So, stay connected to Jesus, and the promise is you will bear fruit. Apart from him, you won't do anything that's of any value eternally, right? And we talked about how people can applaud you for all sorts of things. You get the amazing scholarship, you get the amazing job, you're dating the hot chick or the hot boy in school, and people are like, man, go you, you are awesome. You know, you have the right job, you have all the houses, you have all the toys, you have all the fun, and yet it can be a whole lot of nothing. You can live a whole lot of nothing without Jesus. And so we don't want to live a life like that. We want to be connected to God. And so he says, when you connect to me, you will bear much fruit. And so what is fruit? Fruit is healthy, but it's nutritious. It's refreshing. I looked on the USDA website, like, you know, how you look at the back. Some of you guys don't care about this anymore, you will. I always look at the nutrition facts, like how much protein, how many calories, how many saturated fats, cholesterol, what? And all these different things that you look at. And so I went to the USDA website that talks about a lot of that stuff, and they talked about fruit and the benefits of fruit, and I wanted to read some of that to you. It says, fruit, when you eat a diet rich in fruit, it can reduce the risk of heart disease, which is like a heart attack and stroke. It can protect against cancers. It can reduce obesity and type 2 diabetes and can lower blood pressure and reduce the risk of developing kidney stones and help to increase the risk of bone loss. So fruit can add a lot of value to you if you eat it. I love strawberries. I love all sorts of fruit. I eat a banana almost every morning when I wake up. I love oranges. I just love fruit. And so why? Because fruit's refreshing. It's nourishing. It's something that adds value to me. So this is right here. Jesus says, stay connected to me. You will bear fruit. And what is fruit? It's adding value to someone, right? The fruit doesn't really add value to the branch. It's not like the branch is like, oh, there's a grape. Oh, it's still good. I'm just going to eat it all back up. No. Somebody comes along, right, and picks the grape, and then they eat it. And so all of a sudden, when you produce fruit, that adds value to somebody else's life. That adds something to somebody else's life. And so we see that, man, God's called us to add value, to refresh others, to add nourishment to other people. And so that's what we're called to do. And here's the thing. If we evaporated, if we no longer existed, would people notice? And would the world around us notice? Would the school around us notice? If Reality Student Ministries wasn't here, would our community notice? Because it should, because we should be adding value to our community. You should be adding value in your family. You should be adding value to your schools. You should be adding value to your community. And I'll say this. Some of you guys, if you're anything like me, you've suffered with depression. You've suffered with the thoughts of, man, if I disappeared, no one would notice. I don't really matter. My life doesn't matter. And I would say to you that you're looking at your situation just like I was and realizing that, man, I'm not really adding value. So if I'm not adding value, that means I'm not producing fruit. But Jesus promised us that if we stay connected, that we do produce fruit. So maybe the problem is not the fact that I'm not adding value. Maybe the problem is that I'm not really connected to God, the power source. Maybe it's really like my phone that I think it's plugged in, but it's really not plugged into the power source. It's just plugged into my phone cord. And so all of a sudden, we got to realize that, God, if we're not producing fruit, if we're not nourishing others, even if we're come to that state where it's like, man, does my life really make a difference? You got to look at it and say, am I really connected to the power source? Because here's the other thing that's cool about fruit. Is when fruit reproduces, it reproduces in multiples. It reproduces in multiples. Like, and tonight I'll give you guys each one of these as you leave an apple, right? Delicious apple, right? But inside an apple are seeds, right? You know, 3, 4, 5, 6 dozen seeds, however many. We know fruit has seeds in it, right? And so inside an apple is some seeds, and there's some seeds right in there. And here's the thing. So one apple has, like, we'll just say six seeds. So you plant the seed, you get it. Oh, the seed already dropped out. Oh, here it is. Right? So you get, oh, I can't get it. You get the little tiny seed. Oh, it's so cute. Right? You get the little seed, and you plant it. Then another apple produces. You get the other seed, and another apple produces. You get a seed, and another apple produces. All of a sudden, you get six more apples just out of one apple. Is that how it works? No. What happens when you plant a seed? You get an apple tree. You get a tree. You don't just get one more. So one apple doesn't just produce six more apples. Wow, that's pretty cool. It has the potential of producing six apple trees. Anyone know how many apples an apple tree produces? Hundreds. It's unfathomable. It's they can't even count it because it's just so many apples that are produced in a lifetime of a tree, right? They calculate, they have all sorts of calculations of how many apples are produced in a tree. But the thing is, it's innumerable. You just can't, you have no idea how much a tree, one tree can produce. And inside of each one of these seeds is the ability to produce an apple tree. And that came from inside of this apple, one apple, which came from a branch. And so all of a sudden, I want you to catch this. When you add value to someone's life, you aren't just impacting one life. You have the potential, and you do impact hundreds of people's lives. You can impact an entire generation of people because you are impacting one person, but God doesn't work with adding. He works in multiplication. And so when you do that, all of a sudden it multiplies to a number that you can't even fathom because you took the time to stay connected to God, to bear fruit, to add value to someone else's life. And all of a sudden the whole generation, your culture, your classmates, your soccer team, that whole culture can change. It can change. But we don't always catch that. We don't always understand that. We don't always catch the fact that God wants to move in us and his ways are so much greater than our ways. In fact, I wasn't going to say this, but for some of you, this is going to go over your head. So it's okay. Just leave it over your head. You'll come to it. But there's a theory that was produced years ago, over a century ago. It's called 6 degrees of separation. And what that means is every person on the planet is connected within 6 degrees of separation. Meaning that my relationship, like with Austin, I have a relationship with Austin, so that's one. And Austin has a relationship with his soccer coach, so that's two. His soccer coach has a relationship with several other people in because he was a college. So he has several other relationships with college, and most college soccer players actually played pro, so maybe he knows a pro player. And then all of a sudden, that pro player most likely has some sort of touch or relationship maybe with like David Beckham or something. All of a sudden, I'm four relationships away from David Beckham, right? Actually, and what's cool is, so you see that it's all about these relationships. My influence on Austin can influence his coach, which can also influence another person, which can influence another person. So you see that God works in multiples. When you add value to one person's life, you all of a sudden realize that you have an opportunity to impact so many more people. I was thinking about this, and this has nothing to do with really anything except for the 6 degrees of separation. I'm 3 degrees away from President Obama. I thought about that. I thought that was kind of interesting because I know my brother-in-law. I have a relationship with my brother-in-law, and he actually got this medal, and he had this relationship with this general who at Fort Leavenworth who actually led the war on Iraq years ago, worked in the Pentagon, was Joint Chief of Staff and all that stuff. And so all of a sudden, he had a relationship with President Obama. So all of a sudden, it's like, I'm 3 degrees away from Obama. Huh, that's kind of cool. Anyways, so you realize that all of a sudden you have an impact when you start to produce fruit. Another promise, 15 verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. So a lot of us say, how do we make God happy? I want to make God happy. I want to make God happy. And I want to glorify God. You know, okay, I lift my hands, that glorifies God, right? What does it mean to glorify God? And all of a sudden it says right here very clearly, when we bear fruit, that glorifies God. Okay, so that means I got to do a lot of things. I got to go out, I got to go on missions trips, and I got to go talk to everyone, and that's going to glorify God. How do you bear fruit, though? Because when you try to do all that stuff on your own, then it's just kind of like plugging in, but not really being connected to the power source, right? So the way that we glorify God is we bear fruit. The way that we bear fruit is that we are connected to the vine, connected to Jesus. And so if we want to glorify God with our actions, with everything that's within us, we need to make sure that our priority is to stay connected to Jesus. Now, I want you to catch this. Stop focusing on just doing great things for God and focus on being connected to Jesus. Stop focusing on just the doing. Oh, I got to do this. 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 And start focusing on being connected to Jesus, because that's how you bear fruit. And when you bear fruit, that's what glorifies God. Next promise, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide. Remember, abide means connect in my love. So here's the thing. When you connect with Jesus, you experience real love. Real love. Now, some of you guys think that, I know what love is. I've been in a relationship. Or some of you guys think, I don't know what love is. I've never been in a relationship. Here's the thing. And some of you guys that have been in a relationship or are currently in one are going to be like, dude, you're stepping on my toes. Right? Middle school, high school, what you are in a relationship, that's not real love. It's called infatuation. And I understand that because I've been there, right? Lauren and I were high school sweethearts. And I was in a relationship with her because I liked being in a relationship with her. And she's hot. And I was like, look at me, right? And all of a sudden, it was this feeling that I got about what I could get out of the relationship. And honestly, I didn't know what real love was. I thought I knew what love was. I always told her, hey, I love you. I love you, right? And we say that, but there's a real love that often we don't experience. And some of you guys might come from homes where you don't really experience real love. Maybe you've never experienced what real love is. And I'm telling you, the world is a promise maker and it is a promise breaker. They say love can be found in all these different things, but man, they break your heart time and time again. But when you stay connected to Jesus, you experience real love, unconditional love. Love that says, man, you screwed up time and time again, but I love you just the same. I'm going to continue to chase after you. I'm going to be relentless after pursuing you. So when you stay connected, Jesus promised, man, you'll experience real love. Verse 11 says this, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So when you connect with Christ, you experience joy. You will have joy. Now, I'll just be blunt. There is no way for a sincere Christian not to experience joy. Someone that says, I am very much connected to the vine of God, right? Into the vine of Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's no way of doing that without experiencing joy. Now, some of you guys are saying, well, man, I've really had hard times. I'm not happy. There's a difference between happiness and being filled with joy. There's a difference between happy and joy. Happy and joy. Happy and joy. And man, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had in so many, just in the past month to 2 months, there's a difference between happy and joy and what that looks like. And here's the thing. Happiness is a reaction. It's something that you feel. It's something that, you know, something happens and you feel happy, right? Like jumping on a trampoline. I'm so happy. Break a leg. Ugh. I'm sad. Right? All of a sudden, happiness is a reaction. Happiness is an end result thing. Happiness often follows something, right? Now, here's the other thing, though. Joy is the instigator. Joy is the beginning of something. It even says in the Bible that count it all joy. Choose joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? And even says, Christ said, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, right? The cross wasn't a happy thing. It wasn't like God was like, or Jesus was like, all right, I got this. No, it was a painful thing. Even to the point where Jesus said, man, God, if there's any way that you could take this from me, if there's any other way that we could do this, let's do it. But then he said, you know what? It's not about me. It's about you. It's not about my will, but it's about your will. And so we see that joy is something that's something that goes beyond just the feelings. It's something that gives us strength to endure through all the hardships. And I want you to catch this. Joy expands your vision beyond the experience you're having. That's good. Joy expands your vision beyond the experience that you are having. Because when we say the reason that Jesus could endure the cross is the joy set before him, because he all of a sudden had a bigger view, a God-sized view of the situation. When we say, hey, man, choose joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we say those sorts of things in church and in a lot of conversations, you go into some hard situations. You might not like your job. You might not like your family. You might not like your school or your class or wherever your situation is right now. But when you choose joy, that gives you a God-sized view, a glimpse all of a sudden of what it means to say, you know what, God, I'm going to count it all joy because I know that you have a plan. It's a bigger picture. Next thing I want you that Jesus or God wants us to know through this, not only is the world a promise maker, it's a promise breaker. Jesus is a promise maker. And the third thing is Jesus is a promise keeper. Jesus is a promise keeper. He keeps his promise. There is not one promise that Jesus mentioned that he does not keep. There's not one promise in all of the Bible that God has written through this whole Bible that he does not keep. If we would just be patient and stay connected to the vine. Some of you guys are saying, man, I don't understand. It says that he'll never leave me or forsake me, but I feel so alone. I feel so hopeless. That I don't understand. You know, it says that he's going to be my strength. He's going to be my advocate. But man, this has been so hard, and you don't understand how much people make fun of me and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, we got to realize what fruit. Guess what? When we stay connected, it doesn't mean that God's going to answer us right away with everything that we ever wanted or dreamed of or imagined. But it means that, guess what? God doesn't always show up immediately, but he always shows up eventually. And so it's one of those moments that we got to realize that God, I got to learn patience, right? That's actually Galatians talks about fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, right? And so it's this moment that we got to realize that some of that fruit that we produce is patience in our own lives. 2 Corinthians verse 1 through 20, or chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, for in him, Jesus, every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say amen to the glory of God. Every one of God's promises is a yes. So no matter where you are tonight in your relationship with God and in your walk in life, God says, no, I have plans for you. Every one of my promises is yes. We just read a couple of his promises, that he has promises for you to bear fruit when you stay connected with him, that you for you to experience real love, for you to experience true joy. Every one of God's promises is yes. And so this is a big deal for us, because some of us say, man, I've been doing this whole God thing for a while, and I've never experienced some of this. Maybe you need to reevaluate what you're connected to. Maybe you need to reevaluate where you're connected. And are you just connected to this thing, to the cord, or are you connected to the real power source? And maybe you need to say, you know what, God, I need to have some patience in this, and I need to see the God-sized view of this, because I'm looking so narrow-minded. And God say, man, I'm doing a mighty work in and through you. So if Austin and Emily could come up on stage, we're going to close. Man, you guys can just start playing. Maybe you have been a recipient of a broken promise. Maybe people have made a promise to you and they've broken it. Could be parents, could be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, could be your best friend that you're no longer best friends with. It could be whatever it might be. They made a promise to you, and you're saying, man, they broke their promise. Now, it frustrates me. I don't feel like God is with me in this. Or maybe you have been on the other side, and you've been the promise breaker. You've said something, but you haven't really followed through. You said one thing, but you didn't really follow through with it. And so tonight, I want us to take an opportunity to connect with the promise keeper, to connect with the one that said, you know what? I want to love you no matter what. And to connect with the one that says, you know what? No matter what you're going through, no matter what pain you have, I want to connect you back into the true power source. I want to connect you back into where you get your true joy, where you experience real love, where you can actually bear fruit, because on your own, you can do nothing. God wants us to connect back to Him so that we can live life full, so that we can experience everything that He has for us. Right? God didn't break His promise. If we're going to produce fruit that nourishes, that refreshes, that adds value to the people around us, we have to be connected to Jesus. We have to be connected to the true power source, to the vine, right? So tonight, Jesus is calling us to reconnect, calling us to connect back and say, hey, reevaluate, where is your power source? Are you really connected to that power source? Or are you just faking it? You're on 2% battery life and you're like, man, I can keep going, I can keep going. You know, even last night, I texted one of the students here, and he didn't get until this morning. He said, man, I'm so sorry, my phone was dead. He goes, I had to plug it in. How many of us are at a state where our phone is dead? We're disconnected because we've been hurt, because we think we can do it on our own, because we're saying, man, I just got to get my life back right with God on my own. Once I get my life back right, then I'll work on the whole producing fruit thing. But guess what? You can't do it on your own. You can't do this thing called life on your own. You got to reconnect with God first. It's not about the doing, it's about the being connected.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.